This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Game.
Oh, yeah.
Sam and Greg on this Father's Day, a song that's apropos. Everybody would say that about the father.
Nice tribute to dad. Nice tribute to dad.
And all fathers like having ladies sing to them.
How about that? Basically, they look like In Vogue.
Salt and pepper. So we got a couple things to clean up. Me, I want to make sure I got that studio right. Tammy's studio is...
Okay,
well, you're right. They're part of this.
Yeah, I thought they were.
But it's built under Salt and Pepper, though.
Yeah.
They could top billing. But okay, correct. But thank you, Bo.
I've been to the En Vogue show before. They were wearing the black dresses, too.
Man, you're going to make me lose my train of thought.
Yeah, I know that's
about
right.
Them six women.
Yeah, that was a good show. I'm just saying.
If you ever get a chance
to catch the En Vogue show, man, if you ever get a chance to catch the En Vogue, I recommend you catch the En Vogue show. That's quality entertainment.
Thank you, Carson Daly.
Go ahead, man.
Studio for the Arts. I only said Studio 4. It's Studio for the Arts.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. This is
you
nice.
You got a Studio for the Arts, you know, like number four.
Studio
but four.
For the Arts. Yeah, oh, that's nice. It's nice.
All right. So
you can make a nice logo out of that, which she probably has.
I'm sure she has.
Yes.
The other piece of business is you were hesitant to see, this is one of the things I'm enjoying as you have done more and more radio. Because when you were doing live TV, it just kind of went out there. Or you had a chance to check it before you actually went on.
Yeah, before you went on.
But sometimes things pop in your head when you're doing this and the mic is live. And you get it right to your lips and then you pull back because you have second thoughts on it. But you were right all along. Go with your initial thoughts.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I will leave you the floor again to tell everybody what you think. I mean, you were right, though. But go ahead.
And you asked where I was. And I was in North Carolina in the TV newsroom at the time of the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase.
And that was today. Well,
this on this day.
There you go. June 17th.
94.
And you thought because the NBA Finals were over with now.
Yeah, I thought about that. I'm like, well, wait a minute.
This threw you off.
That was, anyway, we had basketball going on. Bob Costas was on. And I'm thinking, we've been done with basketball here for over a week.
That's because that team got swept. Those guys were going at it. Houston and the Knicks.
Yeah.
A couple visions come out of that. You got Van Gundy, the Terrier. That was actually in the playoffs
before that,
when they were playing Miami. He was hanging on Alonzo Mourning's leg like a Terrier.
Yeah, that was.
A big fight broke out.
Then he somehow ends up at the bottom of it.
And
that's
just
amazing.
And just that Houston team that will always be. You know what? You could draw a correlation to them. Or what they achieved in the mid-90s to what people feel about the Golden State Warriors now. Though, you know, with Kevin Durant there, they feel the unfairness and so on and so forth. We're not going down that road. But you know that there's a number of people who feel like, you know, they don't really – in my personal record book, they don't get a championship because they got the second best player in the, you know, in the league came over to join them and so on and so forth. But the Houston Rockets will always be looked at as a skunk eye because of Jordan retiring during those years they got theirs. Right?
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, but unfortunate because of great teams and great players. You know, we're talking about Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, we hadn't seen a player like him before.
Man. And one of the greatest sports phrases ever came out of that after they won their second championship. And Rudy T, God bless him, came out after Houston was down and said, never underestimate the heart of a champion.
Yeah.
That just gives me goosebumps when I say it does. It was great the way they came back and got that done. And that phrase and him and the player he was. He calls himself a foot soldier. He wasn't a great player, man, but he was there, laced him up every day.
Yep.
And So anyway, so talk about your past week. Sam and Greg, once again, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com on this Father's Day, and taking your calls, any remembrances you have of your dad, sports-related, or if you want to jump on our survey at 92.9thegame on Twitter, let us know, at 92.9thegame.
Yeah.
But this past week, you spent some time out at the at SunTrust.
I went at the SunTrust and went out to catch the Braves playing the first game of the series against the Padres, and I got a chance to be down on the field before the game. Saw our buddy Jeff Francoeur, says hello. He was on with us not too long ago, and he's doing great and having a lot of fun. Be up in the booth some during the game, so he's and telling a lot of good stuff. And he was watching the U.S. Open because he's a great golfer, mm-hmm. and has been since high school day. He doesn't have time to play during high school. He was busy playing football and baseball, but he's like a scratch golfer back at Parkview. So Francoeur is a fantastic golfer. But anyway, we're talking about this Braves team, and as they finished batting practice, I had a chance to talk with Ron Washington, a little bit of the coach. We know what he's done. He's been around the game, and he's managed World Series teams, and now he's here in Atlanta being a part of this young Braves team. And I had a chance to talk with him about this team so far and the things that how their patience and how their learning is being rewarded.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, our young kids showed a lot of growth from last year, and they're showing a lot of poise this year. And the good thing about this year compared to last year, we're not doing anything to hurt ourselves. So if we get beat, it's because the other team played better than we did, not because we hurt ourselves like we did last year.
Is that a change of a mindset? And how much would it mean for the team to take the field knowing that the other teams, we make sure that they beat us and we don't do that to ourselves?
Well, that's the mindset you try to create. Sometimes it takes a little while to create it. But as I said, we have talented kids, and those that got an opportunity last year, they're showing improvement. They've been through the wars already. And the good thing about these young kids we have right now is they listen. And that's what you want to be around, kids that listen.
That's talking to him and something he said about that team. It sounds kind of like they don't make the same mistake twice. You know, if they do something, and that's one of the reasons we've seen this team perform so well. And he says he enjoys coming out there every day. I said, are you having fun? He said, yeah, man, he's having a lot of fun. Young ball players learning the game. And, like, the big thing is that they listen. He talked about the confidence that they got earlier in the season from those close wins, the late-inning wins. They found out that they can do it and how that comes back. And like yesterday is a classic example. You know, maybe some years past, you got a one-run lead going to the eighth, ninth inning, and you get nervous and whatnot. Not this team. I mean, they've been there. They know what they can do in the late innings, and they just have that kind of confidence. I asked them to give me a grade, though. I said, can you give me a grade for your team? He said, you need to come back and see me after the All-Star break.
See, it's a wait and see.
Yeah.
That's what you like.
Well,
but you know what? We both remember what it was like when the other Braves started their run in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
My question is this, and you were more on the front lines than I was, but I was out there as often as I could. The approach, we now, with hindsight, know how Bobby Cox coached. Do you see that, as you said, they don't make the same mistake twice, these baby Braves, but are you seeing them, meaning the coaches, let them go through the motions, go through, you know, work through the adversity that comes through these guys going through this length of a season, for one,
the slumps.
Well, not
you
just
some
the
guys
slumps,
that
but
go through slumps and just
the adjustments. That's what I was going through.
Right.
It's the adjustments that need to be made when you see that pitcher again, and you also know that they know how you are approaching, you know, batting when you come up. And so it's kind of complex because, again, it's like what we talked about with golf. A lot of baseball is played between the ears. It's a chess match. We know that. Are you seeing them, meaning, again, the coaches, allowing these guys to just play and not have them overcoach? I guess is my question, what I'm asking.
Well, the thing we have another response from another question that I ask him, because we all feel like this team is ahead of schedule. Is it right on time? Because, you know, you have so much youth in this team. And I asked him about that, and here's his response to, is this team ahead of schedule?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm just as surprised as everyone else. So I would have to say maybe we are ahead of schedule. But the thing is, they don't believe it.
Yeah.
The thing is, you just got to go out there and play baseball. Ball hit till you catch it. Ball throw across plate, you hit it. Get on the base, run the bases. And, I mean, we told ourselves in spring training, that's the kind of team we want to be. We want to play every facet of the game. And if we lose, it's because we can look in the mirror and know that the other team just played better than us last night.
All right. Again, I apologize. I didn't get my question out that well. But it sounds like he answered my question in that, you know, A, it's too early. Yeah. We're not going to add too much salt and pepper to the mix here.
No.
And just sleep. Let's see what happens. Hopefully everybody will stay healthy, too.
That's a big part of it. Julio Teheran is back. I think he's starting today. And he's been out for a while. And so he's back, and he's started this afternoon at SunTrust Park against the Padres. You know, that's the thing about it in talking about the team. It seems like everything is not only just going ahead of schedule, but it's kind of the kind of team that they wanted them to become, a team that goes out and gain confidence as the season goes on. Whether or not they be at this juncture, at this stage of the season, maybe it's what they wouldn't think. Maybe this is something you would see maybe after the All-Star break, but you're seeing it now. And so since you're here, you know, you're in first place.
Yeah.
You know, you go with it and roll with it and see if they can maintain it. It's a long season.
And maybe that's why they feel confident. They put Fulton on the DL yesterday. Fulton Evers, a little strained elbow thing here. And because of the first place position they're in and the confidence they feel within this pitching staff, as you
right.
said, the bullpen held them yesterday,
mm-hmm.
they have the confidence in saying, okay, we can give this guy some time to heal right now. Whereas in years past, that might not have been the case.
May not have been the case.
And as Bo said, that, you know, we all know, it's next man up. It's a football mentality, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
The guys who may not have had a chance in the past. So, we'll wait and see. There's a number of great stories in baseball so far this year. This obviously being the one that a lot of people are talking about. There's one going on out in Seattle, too.
Yeah.
These guys are just, I mean, they're a half game behind, I think it's the Astros. But still, they're playing lights out there. So, again, post-All-Star break is going to be really interesting to see what's going on, not just with Major League Baseball, but this Braves team being in the mix in a way that they haven't in recent memory.
I know. And that's a nice place to be.
Yeah,
it's a nice place to be, that is for sure. And we're curious to see how many of them are get a chance to be voted onto the All-Star team. They still got ballot voting going on for that, too. There should be a number of Braves that we get to see play that All-Star game up in Washington. I'm sure the folks up in Washington would love that, considering leading the Nationals.
I was trying to think. I was trying to think the last time we had an Atlanta Brave that was part of the, like, Home Run Derby, part of the weekend festivities. I couldn't think. I was trying to think. Who was the last one? Who was the last? Did Chipper participate? I can't think of the last time an Atlanta Brave participated.
Did Teixeira do it the year he was here?
He may have, and I'm thinking maybe Klesko did. I'm gonna get that.
That sounds about right.
Yeah,
but it's the way the makeup of this team is. You haven't had it or needed.
No,
that guy to put it out on Hank Aaron Drive.
No, it's been just folks. Everybody been taking care of business on a different night. Been coming up, you know.
But even the years they were winning the division all those times.
Oh, I know.
There wasn't a home run bopper. I mean, we had a couple.
Well, you'd have some that would come in. You
come
had,
and go, but they
were. Galarraga for a while, McGriff. You know, you had some different guys that would come in and
burn
play
it,
that
joint
role.
Down.
Hey.
Let's talk about Atlanta United next. How about that?
All right.
They got it done yesterday, right?
They got it done this week. They got it done.
Yeah. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on this Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads.
That was cool how you just did that.
What's wrong?
When you jumped in, you was right in time with Michael.
Yeah, man.
And it was like, it was nice. And you weren't trying. That's what made it art.
Good morning, everybody.
Yes.
Thanks for having us with you on this Father's Day. Morning, wherever dads are heading out today, if you're heading out to church this morning, if you're going to go and meet dad, maybe he's out of town, whatever you're having today, safe travels, and thanks for taking us along with you on this day when we honor the men who, fathers or grandfathers or stepdads.
Or just yourself, the, or, who or happens just, to be a father.
Or just the men who happen to stand in that void sometimes and play that role.
Well, that's
us. You know who you are.
Well,
some are not stepfathers. Some are men.
Well, you're true.
It could be
that's
it,
very
your
true.
Neighborhood. We talk about the village, and it could be someone
in
a neighborhood who steps in and just is that person
yeah.
for that young person that to give them an example to them and someone they can go and share with and plays a prominent role in their development and growth as we just had commencements and graduations and this time of thing. You think about the people who help you get to that place, and sometimes it's somebody who's not related at all, but they feel a need to be there and be there for a young person in their upbringing. So we're gonna tip the cap to you guys too as well.
There you go.
Yeah,
I was throwing in mostly stepfathers because three of us are our stepdads.
Yeah, yeah,
and have done some things that you know just you have to do a little bit different.
Oh yeah,
little bit different.
But you do some things and you realize that that's the role that you play at the stage and think about if you hadn't played the role that you did. At the stage. That's the thing.
I remember going to get my stepdaughter one time when something happened where her mother had to be at work, and I don't know where her father was. You know, they're on another side of town, but he was still close enough to where he could have went and got her. She's in grammar school.
Okay.
And, you know, it's all about hanging out with your friends when you're in grammar school.
Oh, yeah.
A little clique of friends.
You got to be cool.
And so I had to go pick her up from school.
Yeah.
And I drove to the school, and my car broke down. And all the kids are coming out and assembly. You know how they bring them out of school and the car's waiting there for them?
Yeah.
And there I am with a broke, busted up. And the tow truck had to come and haul my car out of there. And she couldn't find a hole big enough to crawl into. Here I was out there having to pick her up.
Yeah.
And my car is just like this. I'm not going to get us busted by FCC. But, yeah, I always remember that, how I embarrassed her so much. She must have been 7 or 8, something like
really?
That. All her friends are looking
at
her.
That's at age when all your friends are like, oh, no.
I know, man.
Ooh. Ooh.
But then I got another one I'm going to tell you about her next hour, that you know, some one of the other ones. So there
very
you go.
Cool,
that's McKenna.
Cool,
we got the world coming here.
Yeah.
And, in a few years.
In a few years.
In 8 years.
And give us time to get ready.
Exactly. That announcement was made this past week.
World Cup is taking place now in Russia, United States. Well, America's. Get the World Cup because
America.
Some will be in Canada, some will be played in Mexico, but a lot will be played in the United States. And we seem to feel like we're going to get to be a rather prominent player in it. To what degree of prominence may be the question.
I wouldn't be surprised if it ended right down the street from here. I would not be surprised. I had the final game
street. Would Atlanta be able to pull that off?
Why wouldn't we? We have had the world here already, haven't we?
We have. That was the Olympics.
And we've had the nation here a couple times for the biggest sporting
people
event.
Think soccer. They don't think Atlanta unless you've been here the last couple of summers. People don't realize what's happening with the game, you know, here. Obviously, it's an international city. It's an international city, obviously. And people know that. And, of course, we have the airport. That's the difference maker and the equalizer for Atlanta with any other city in the country. Well, people don't know about what's happening with soccer. And that brings us to Atlanta United, who, to me, plays a big role in this. The fact that people now look at this and see that the game is being so well received here because that team is doing so well. And this week they played on the road up in Columbus, Ohio. They get
It was earlier this week.
Yeah, they have 2-0. They get the win up there. And so that's the, you know, the thing. Can Atlanta pull that off? Can Atlanta pull off hosting a
final
of the World Cup?
You're actually asking that question?
I mean, that's the thing. We ask if Atlanta could be a soccer town.
Dude, listen.
Can Atlanta be a soccer town?
There is no way in the world, and I've told this story at my last couple stations I worked at, there is no way in the world we should have got the 100th Olympiad when it came down to a city that never hosted anything on that scale before, meaning Atlanta, and then the place where it started. Athens, Greece.
Yeah, but we got some stuff that they don't
Again,
have.
Though, but just traditionally, you would think that Greece would get the 100th Olympiad.
They ain't the headquarters for UPS.
Again, you would think that
the U.S. Depot.
I'm not arguing with you, but I'm just telling you, perception was.
They ain't the headquarters for Delta Airlines.
And you could keep going, you're missing my bigger point.
No, I'm making the point.
I know why we got it, all that stuff you said.
Right.
And you left out a couple places, too.
Yeah.
All right? But there was no way we should have got it in the minds of, let's just say, the rest of the world. But we got it, and we did a terrific job with it.
They didn't act like it. They all showed up, and they stayed, most of them.
The fact that you were asking
this is nice here. Y'all going to send me a couple of boxes? And you just going to send me everything? When we just going to, you know, because that's what happened after 96. We can't add enough lanes to the freeway, man. Because that was not freeway through this town used to be 3 lanes. And both sides, what we got out of here? You go out here to downtown Connect. We got like about 15 lanes out there. We still need some more. You know, that's from the result of 96. We did a great job.
Thank you. That's what I've been trying to say for last
week. Maybe we did a little too good.
So the fact that you're asking that question is what's mind-boggling. Because we got everything here.
Yeah.
We got everything here and more than some cities. So let's take some of the top cities in this country that you know are going to house it. Mexico City's going to have their contribution to it.
Okay.
You pick the venues in Canada, whether it's in Vancouver or Montreal or Toronto or wherever the other big venues are up there. I've been to, what's the stadium in Toronto?
Toronto.
Where the Argonauts used to play, and I don't know if they still use
Rogers,
that stadium.
Is it Rogers Place? That's all of it now?
But they have the venues up there.
The place with the retractable roof. It's one of the first retractable roof places there in Toronto. Rogers Center.
But what joints here do you feel are probably top of the list to be used? We'll include the new stadium that's going to be built in L.A.
For the Rams.
Okay.
Okay.
So you throw that in.
Okay.
You throw in Jerry World, you figure that's going to be a part of it. You got to figure that
Meadowlands.
Well, no, Giant Stadium or whatever it's called. MetLife. So that's three. And next to the Benz, what would be the fifth stadium? Soldier Field in Chicago. I'm thinking a big city.
Soldier Field.
They've had it there before.
Does Ford Field in Detroit even make a play for it?
No, but I'll tell you what. Something we mentioned beforehand. Pro Player Stadium, or whatever that joint in Miami's called. And because of the location down in Miami, I feel like they're probably going to get one.
Oh, okay.
So that's five stadiums right there.
Okay, now you got to break it down as you go around. Who gets the semi and who gets the final? Because that's going to be the last three places are going to be who gets semis.
You just named a whole bunch of Fortune 500 companies that are making their case right now why the finals should be right down the street. And I can't think of a better place. Now, you know there's a whole lot of bloviating going on over there in Dallas, and he's going to try his best.
Oh, yeah.
But.
Yeah, he will.
I think we can outdo Jerry.
We've already outdone Jerry with that stadium over there we got here in town. I think we already have. But, I mean, there will be that competitive thing. It'll be very competitive to see who lands that final. The new stadium in L.A. definitely will at least, to me, that gets them at least a semi, I think. You know, if you want to go somewhere on the West Coast, unless they want to go up to San Francisco and play in Levi's, you know, the new 49ers place up there, you know. I mean, and plus you got the big college campuses, too. You got Palo Alto at Stanford. That's a huge place.
You got the Coliseum.
And you got the Rose Bowl.
Right.
So you got other places that seat 100,000 folk.
But you got to wonder if they want to make sure that the places have a roof, retractable roof of some kind.
Well, in Southern California.
You know, that don't mean nothing.
They wrote a song.
But you're talking about San Francisco, too. That rains up there a whole bunch.
Yeah, but not in Southern California.
And we talked about Miami, too.
They wrote a song about that.
They wrote a song about a lot of places. wrote a song about
they
it.
They wrote a song in Southern California, Don't Rain.
Happy Father's Day, everybody.
You okay over there?
No, I'm just having a day. Hold it together.
I feel like I'm working in
Cock Hills.
Don't say
that's what I feel
we
like.
We went after that the first hour. We're gonna jump back on them a little bit later. But I think it's a tremendous opportunity. It was great news this week to hear that Atlanta made it that Atlanta is on the list being considered and that the United States has World Cup coming. And I think we put on a great show. I think people know that. The powers that be in town, the Fortune 500 people, but also the people with Atlanta Sports Council, that's what they do. You know, they lure in the big events, and, you know, we put on a great show.
Who's the head of the sports council now? Because I know he's head of the Peach Bowl, Gary Stolkin, our friend.
Stolkin, yeah.
But isn't it
Dan Corso?
Corso, that's
Dan
it.
Dan Corso. Shout out to Dan.
Yes. Morning,
happy,
Dan.
Happy Father's Day to him and happy
there
Father's Day to his dad.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Corso, yeah.
On this Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
How many, speaking of Atlanta United, we got an all-star game not far away. And think about the two first-place teams that are in this city. And the amount of all-stars they're going to put into those games.
Yeah.
Now, we'll get into the Braves in a little bit here, but we got the list for Bo. I want to thank earlier the guys that are probably going to be in here. Now, how many starters? How many right off the rip are we going to see at this when this game starts?
Man, I'm seeing all these guys who are doing well with the voting right here. Brad Guzan, the goalie who has just been out of his mind in recent weeks, the way he's played, you know, definitely get there. Defender Michael Parkhurst. The team captains, he's you know, it's done an impeccable job defending in some situations, especially I think I'm remembering one particular where they were playing this year where they were shorthanded and the defense just had to tread water.
Got all kinds of midfielders there going, too.
Midfield, I mean, that's the whole thing. You got Almiron, you got Darlington Nagbe, you got Barco and Gressel. So you got great players. And then, of course, Joseph Martinez, you know, that's the guy that, you know, lights it up.
Well.
So, I mean, they're all looking at ready. I mean, and wouldn't that be kind of fitting? You're going to play the game here, the All-Star game here, and have the home team represent?
It's the way to do it.
Yep.
All right, man. Listen, we're going to get back to that U.S. Open talk in a little while. But we're going to go on the other side of the glass next with Bo. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam and Greg on this Father's Day. You a Journey fan?
Oh, yeah.
Song reminds of a whole lot of people get upset when they hear this. This is how The Sopranos ended. Just kind of cut off.
Song, yeah.
Just
yeah.
cut right off there. Anyway, we're going to get back to our Father's Day remembrances. We want you guys to join us with yours, 404-741-0929, or I want to make sure I get this right, a sports memory.
Yes.
With your father.
Right.
And we have it up on our survey. You go to at 92.9 The Game on Twitter and let us know whether it was something fishing or bowling or golf or just watching a sporting event. A special remembrance from your father.
Yeah.
All right. So please join us on this Father's Day. And because I'm telling you, people that have called up and have done it, they get a little teary eyed.
Yeah, they can.
You and I might do that too.
Maybe.
All right. Time to go on the other side of the glass, though.
Unique stories and a unique take from Bo.
Wow. Wow.
It's the other side of the glass on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
See, I'll mention the clown show that is the U.S. Open
yes.
this year.
Yes, it is that bad.
Great piece of audio that you can pick up on 99thegame.com. Here in about 10 minutes, I'm going to be finished ripping that to the website.
Okay.
So Fox has actually come out and apologized.
Yep.
But
really?
It wasn't necessarily for the clown show that is the U.S. Open.
Okay.
Because as Patrick Reed, his approach shot on the first hole Friday, right after Joe Buck announced that they were going to a shot, the ambient noise in the background was a sexually explicit conversation taking place between two golfing fans that were standing near Patrick Reed as he hit his shot.
Whoa.
And the entire conversation made it out over the air
nice. On
FS1.
Nice.
Really?
So Fox did come out and issue an apology saying that it was live TV and that it was not the Fox announcers or someone that worked for Fox. You know,
yeah,
they went through all
yeah.
the lawyer mumbo jumbo to try to avoid the FCC tagging them with a $500,000 fine.
Yikes.
But if you ever wonder, you know, we all play golf, but if anybody is curious as to the bonding and the conversations that can happen on a golf course, you know, that's when you get to hang out with your friends or business people or coworkers, and you're out there for 4 hours in most cases, and conversations happen, you know?
Yeah.
That's part of the love of the game.
You have a little beverage.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's what takes our mind off of the shot that we just hit in the woods, or most of us anyway.
And the best dirty jokes told.
Absolutely. So we have some new ongoers into the recruitment efforts of LeBron James, but this one is not a billboard this time. L.A. rapper The Game, who, you know, hasn't really released any relevant music in years, but he is a businessman these days as he owns a cannabis farm.
Ooh.
So The Game has actually created, now I'm not sure how you create different strains of marijuana these days, but it's not legal here in Georgia yet, so I haven't really done a whole lot of research on this, but evidently you can. The Game has created a strain of marijuana and named it after LeBron, calling it La L.A. Bron James.
No.
Oh, further the recruitment efforts to get LeBron to come on out to Los Angeles. So you got billboards going up all over the country. Now the dude has a strain of weed named after him.
Wow.
Out in California. I would wager to say this is probably the first NBA player that's ever had a strain of weed named after him.
Yeah, I would think so.
On the legit market.
I was going to say on the legit side.
Yeah, you may have had some other stuff back in the day.
Now, Bay Area Brewer, the Bear Bottle Brewing Company, has also paid homage to LeBron James here of late. But it's not in the recruitment effort. As we know, the Golden State Warriors hail from the Bay Area. The Bear Bottle Brewing Company has created a beer and named it after LeBron called LeBron Tears. The description of this beer, it's a 6.5% alcohol by volume hazy IPA. A little known fact, this is in the description of the beer. KD, Steph, and Klay take opposing teams' hopes and dreams and turn them into soul-crushing three-pointers. We took the tears from Sir James' Game 1 loss and distilled them into a hazy IPA just for you. We also decided that tears pair well with mosaic hops.
Wow.
I wish I could get my hand on some. I just want one can. Just put it in the collection. You know?
In a related story, Dukes and Bell got their own beer.
They did.
It's up on the website. Yeah. You can go check that out. Yeah.
You can. I don't think that you can still go vote anymore, but the Oconee Brewing Company is naming a beer. It's a blonde ale after Dukes and Bell. You could vote. I think they're going to unveil it next week at a Twin Peaks, maybe Wednesday. It's either Wednesday or Friday, something like that. Go to 99thegame.com for all that information. So we flip over to the league real fast. And have y'all heard about Chris Davis and the Baltimore Orioles and how tragically bad they're doing this season?
They're doing pretty bad.
Chris Davis is actually on pace for the worst season in MLB history for a hitter that is a regular starter.
And he was an all-star, too, right?
At-bats. He is a former all-star.
Yeah.
So Davis is sitting at a 150 batting average, 227 on base, 227 slugging, and 0.77 isolated slugging. So the Baltimore Orioles, in an effort to erase themselves from this potential history, have benched Chris Davis for the sixth straight game. Now, if he falls underneath the number of at-bats required to qualify for a batting title, this would not be the worst season ever if he kept these numbers. Two of the most staggering numbers of Chris Davis's season, though, his WAR right now is a minus 2.2.
For those who don't know what WAR means.
Wins above replacement.
There you go.
He literally has cost his team almost 2.5 games this season. By him taking the field, they have lost 2.2 games.
Just for him showing up.
They should Keyshawn him.
Now,
wow, man.
That's not too much better than his replacement, Trey Mancini, who is a much younger ball player.
Right.
Trey Mancini's WAR is a negative 1.3. So the Baltimore Orioles just continue to struggle there, especially over at first base. And they're starting to move some players, which the Atlanta Braves could be in the mix for. We'll get to that at some other time.
Yeah.
The biggest number in this whole deal, though, Chris Davis making $23 million this season.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe some local teams should look at the Baltimore Orioles and see that just with a little bit of courage, you can indeed bench someone who makes a whole lot of money if they decide to go out and
if you're Buck Showalter,
have a terrible
right?
showing of themselves.
Yeah, what happened with Buck Showalter?
Yeah. And Buck's a guy who could do that. You got to be that kind of manager.
Yeah, absolutely. But is he going?
So y'all mentioned MLB All-Star voting. So get out there and vote. MLB.com, Braves.com. You can vote up to 30 times total and 5 times a day. Here's a little rundown of how our Braves are doing. We'll start at the catcher position. Buster Posey is winning or in the lead at 280,000 votes. Kurt Suzuki's actually in third at 223,000. So he's only behind by 60,000 votes. For a catcher who only plays half the games, that's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
All right. First base, our very own Freddie Freeman, 633,000 votes, leads all National League vote-getters. And he might be the MLB leader in vote-getters.
Okay.
He's second behind Mookie Betts, who has 750,000 votes.
Okay.
But Freddie Freeman has 633. Numbers 2, 3, 4, and 5, Rizzo, Belt, Bellinger, and Votto combined have less votes than Freddie Freeman.
Whoa.
So it looks like Freddie's going to end up being the all-star starter at first base. I think we're a shoe in there, but still go out and vote. Your leading vote-getter at second base, our very own The Wizard of Oz, Ozzie Albies, 398,000 votes, almost 399. Right behind or right in front of Javier Baez for the Cubs with 360. At third base, you've got Nolan Arenado leading the vote-getting there at 527,000, leading Chris Bryant by over 200,000 votes. Well-deserved. Arenado gets my vote as well. Shortstop, you've got Crawford at 466. Dansby, our very own Dansby Swanson, who people were willing to jump ship on last year, is in second place in all-star votes for shortstop. Okay. Now, he is 200,000 votes behind Brandon Crawford. And then in the outfield, Bryce Harper leads for whatever reason. I'm not sure.
Because he's Bryce Harper.
It is because he's Bryce. Yeah. And I respect Bryce for that.
And they
got to
have a Washington representative.
I think he's up at 19 home runs or whatever. But he's batting like 220. I did not vote for Bryce. Nick Markakis, number two.
Yes.
In outfield votes, only 4,000 votes behind Bryce.
Yes. Yes.
At 494. So get out there and vote for Nick. And then former Brave Matt Kemp, number three. In the All-Star voting at 351,000 for National League outfielders. Congratulations on Matt Kemp on dropping like 40 pounds and having a great season. Leads the National League in batting average.
And had a good fight at home plate.
Had a good fight.
Yeah,
nice fight at home plate this week. Hey, you know what? You can say this about the Braves and getting the votes. And when we saw this during the 90s, they were still on the Superstation. And so they were being seen all over the place every night. It's not that way anymore, but it says a lot about how people still pay attention to Atlanta and how they've noticed what this particular team is doing. You know,
Braves have indeed become the darling of Major League Baseball.
How about that? How about that?
It's good to see. That's what's going on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, man.
All right. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.